This is Andrew Corbett, author of Building a Covenant Community Bible Study Series. We are up to our final one in the series, part 27, Do Not Be Overcome by Evil, but Overcome Evil with Good. We're looking at Romans chapter 12 and verse 21. Well, this is our capstone study. In other words, this is the study that kind of tries to pull everything together. So unlike the other studies, which have generally been just a page and a flip over, this is a couple of pages flipped over. So it's going to try and summarize all of the other 26 imperatives that we've looked at in what it takes to build a covenant community of believers. As with each of the studies, I recommend that time of refreshments where drinks and nibbles and people can just come in and chat and grab something to eat and just get to know each other better. That is a vital part of the study. In fact, it's an essential part of the study because we're talking about building a covenant community. Food and drink is an essential part of building a covenant community, as well as applying the biblical principles. In fact, I would argue that having food and drink is actually biblical. Anyway, we are going to look at the lives of two very important people. In our last study, I looked at Desmond Doss and showed how he was someone who was not overcome by evil, and he actually showed kindness where he was not shown kindness, and he showed graciousness and generousness where he was not shown graciousness and generousness. So this study is going to look at two particular people. This study has been written in November 2018, where a couple of important things have happened with some very important people, and I'm going to refer to those now. So having moved into the room where you do the study, again, normal practice, go around the room, ask people what's one thing you're thankful for and what's one thing you would like prayer for. And as you write those down, you'll use those at the end of the night again to ask people, to invite people to pray for the needs of others in the group. And again, it comes back around to you. You close in prayer, wrap up any particular prayer request that may have been overlooked, and ask God to help you to apply these principles and to help you as a group, as a church, to be knit together so that you become a biblical covenant community, a covenant community of believers. This would, I recommend that this needs to be read probably by yourself to start with. The first person we're going to talk about is a lady by the name of Asia Beebe, and this is a lady who has been imprisoned for 10 years. As of recording this, she's still being held captive, even though, as we'll see in a moment as we hear her story, a court, in fact, the Supreme Court of Pakistan, has acquitted her of all charges. So let's have a look at this. The title is Do Not Be Overcome by Evil, but Overcome Evil with Good. So these people that I'm drawing on are going to give practical legs to that, and you'll see how this applies. Christians enduring evil in our world today. And dot, dot, dot. As I write this, a young Pakistani woman, Asia Beebe, has been embroiled in a series of life and death court cases in Pakistan. And if you can appreciate, as we'll see in a moment, that the charge of blasphemy in Pakistan carries with it the penalty of death. That's just some background to this. Her crime? In 2010, she used a cup reserved for Muslims to have a drink of water while on a break with a work gang picking berries. And you can imagine in Pakistan in the heat of the day, those Muslims present demanded that Asia immediately convert to Islam. Instead, she declared her faith in Christ as her Savior. For this declaration, she was accused of blasphemy, and legal charges were then laid against her, leading to her imprisonment while awaiting her trial. In Pakistan, being convicted of blasphemy carries with it the death penalty. So you can see it's quite a serious charge. That's Sharia law, by the way. Initially, a lower court upheld the charges, but on appeal, Asia Bibi was finally acquitted in 2018. In fact, on November 1st, 2018. But as I write this, President Imran Khan has not agreed to release her from prison or for her and her husband to even leave Pakistan if she is eventually released. What has happened to Asia Bibi has been evil. For Asia and her husband, Ashik Massey, Romans 12:21, which is our key text, is not merely some nice biblical text tucked away in some Bible study notes. And neither is it for the estimated 2.5 million Pakistani Christians, and perhaps one day it may not be for any of us either. So unlike the other Bible studies that we've had, this one has got a couple of pictures. Here's the first picture on the opening page. And you'll see there in the caption, it's the Pakistani protesters calling for Asia Bibi's death and the death of the three Supreme Court justices who acquitted her. So this is pretty serious stuff that believers are facing in Pakistan. So when we're, you know, talking about do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, for these people, it's not just a cute little Bible study. It's not just a cute little theory. It's not just some, you know, insult you might receive in the workplace. This is literally life and death. So pretty serious stuff. As we conclude our series on building a covenant community of believers, we shall see that in order to implement each of these 27 imperatives of living as a Christ follower, we're going to need each other. And certainly the Christians in Pakistan at the moment are discovering that as well. Question one, read Psalm 34 verse 14, which says, "Turn away from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it." And based on that verse, when do we most need to be reminded of this command? Well, I think when the temptation is to respond to evil with evil. And we need to be reminded that this is not the biblical prescription for a Christ follower. It certainly wasn't the example of our Savior. And I think we need each other to remind us of that and to hold us not just to account, but to strengthen us to do that as well. This is why it's really important to be in a covenant community. All right, we're going to introduce the second of our case studies at the moment. This is on the flip over the page. Christians running into the fray. And this is a really important concept that whenever evil has occurred in the world, rather than Christians fleeing, Christians have run into the fray. This is the universal response of Christians. And here is one of the most powerful examples. I've got a couple of YouTube links. I need to give you just a warning on this. This is not for children. The evil that is described by Dr. Robert Mukwege, who is pictured here, who we're going to talk about in a moment, is not what I would want children to be exposed to at this stage, because he is talking about some heinous evil. So just beware if you haven't previewed that YouTube clip, which is on a British newspaper channel on YouTube, The Guardian. Have a look at it first so you can make a judgment call on this. This man is the joint winner of the 2018 Nobel Peace Prize. He's a Congolese gynecologist, Dr. Robert Mukwege. He's pictured left. You'll see him there having a laugh with two of his patients. Robert's father was a Pentecostal minister who regularly prayed for the sick in their war-torn country of the Democratic Republic of Congo as Robert was growing up. Young Robert was so moved by this that he committed his life to also healing the sick by medicine. So not just praying, but also using the gifts that God had given him and the knowledge that God gave him as he studied medicine. After graduating as a medical doctor, he was awarded a postgraduate scholarship in France. And when you hear him on the YouTube clips, you'll hear that he has a thick French accent. He could have settled there and enjoyed a comfortable life, but he didn't. He returned to the Congo, where fighting had broken out in 1996, and established a clinic for women who were the victims of the worst war crimes. And he tells his story here. So there's a YouTube clip. You may have that prepped, ready to go in your home if it's an adult group. But just be aware, he is talking about women being shot in the genitals, mutilated in some of the most heinous ways in their genitals. And he's a gynecologist, and he goes about repairing them. It's a beautiful story, enough to make him a Nobel Peace Laureate. In a war that has been raging for years, yet barely rates a mention in the mainstream Western news media, millions of people have been killed, literally millions of people have been killed, but by far the worst victims of what has been described as Africa's World War are the women. They are often brutally sexually assaulted. He talks about them in the video being raped and then being shot in the vagina. This horrible, horrible stuff. They are often brutally sexually assaulted in the most violent and hideous ways imaginable. Dr. Magwigi says that many of these seriously abused women are brought to his clinic to die after their abusers have eventually finished with them as their sex slaves. The damage done to these women is horrendous, but Dr. Magwigi and his team have been able to rebuild thousands of these women to the point that he is now known as the man who repairs women. Now, I've got a footnote. I haven't had footnotes in the previous studies, but this is, I think, an important point for us to get a little bit of background about this man, because he's a man who has run into the fray, not away from it. Now, he is under constant threat of his life. When he went to Norway to receive his Nobel Peace Prize, his bodyguard, who remained back in Congo, was assassinated and his children kidnapped. He had to go into exile while the release of his children was negotiated. After this was achieved, he returned to the war zone. Can you believe it? To continue his work in repairing women in Jesus' name. Christians have traditionally run into the fray where sometimes the greatest evil is being perpetrated. Dr. Magwigi is living out the Romans 12:21 principle, overcome evil with good. And he's doing it. And there's another clip there to have a look at. Question two, if we were to apply the principle found in Amos 5:15, which says, hate evil and love good and establish justice in the gate, it may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Okay, if we were to apply the principle there of hate evil and love good, what might it cost us? Well, there's a discussion, and I think that there is a cost to pay. There is a vested interest in some quarters to promote evil and to call it good. And if you dare withstand that, if you dare call things like abortion evil, if you dare call aberrant human sexuality evil, wrong, injurious, you are likely to be called a narrow-minded bigot at best, and lots of other things at worst. So have a discussion about that. As Paul concludes this list of actions for followers of Christ, he concludes with a similar theme to how he commenced. I'm often impressed how the Bible sort of bookends its truth. And Romans 12:9, just good to be reminded of that. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. So that's how he opens up. And now he says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How does Romans 12:9, which we just read, relate to and inform us about our key text? Well, it tells us that in order to overcome evil with good, we have to hate evil and we have to love good. And I know that there are some people who naively say, Christians should never hate anything. But we're told here twice, more than twice through Scripture, hate evil, hate it, hate injustice, and love what is good, love what is right, love what honors God. Question four, consider 1 Thessalonians 5:15, which says, "See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. And consider how we are told to repay those who act in an evil way toward us." Well, we're told to do them good. This is the preeminent Christian response to adversity, to those who oppose us, to those who are ungracious and unkind to us. We're told to have a completely opposite spirit to them. It's powerful, but we need each other to be able to do it. We need to strengthen each other's hands and encourage each other to do it. Question five, how does implement our key text, Romans 12:21, impact our witness among unbelievers based on 3 John verse 11, which says, "Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God." So how does implementing our key text impact our witness among unbelievers? It tells them that we genuinely know God. It tells them that something has happened that is miraculously transformational that's happened in our lives. We are called to overcome evil, not merely diffuse it. Question six, note Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, which says that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the world of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So based on that text, a beautiful text, consider when the circumstances are best for Christians to step up and begin to overcome evil within a culture. Well, it says there, when it's evil, when it's dark, when it looks hard, when it can't be done, that's the best time to step up and get in the game and shine the light and be good. This is the conditions. This is the seedbed in which the church was founded. And we make this point. The church in the first 3 centuries from its founding practiced much unappreciated good. At the time, it was common for newborn baby girls to be left exposed overnight in the market squares or forests for the wildlife or cruel elements to kill them. But the Christians of that time would rescue these girls and raise them as their own. Lepers and the desperately sick were cared for in the beginning of what would eventually develop into modern hospitals. When Emperor Julian, known as the Apostate, Julian the Apostate, took it upon himself to destroy Christianity. So he was actually the successor to Constantine. So although Constantine made Christianity the state, the religion of the empire, his successor, Julian, wanted nothing to do with it. He wanted to promote paganism, and he set about to destroy Christianity by promoting paganism. He wrote to pagan priests to outdo these, he didn't call them Christians, he called them Galileans, in showing kindness to the unfortunates of society. This is what he wrote in a document called Epistle to Pagan High Priests. "These impious Galileans," Christians, "not only feed their own, but ours also, welcoming them with their agape. They attract them as children are attracted with cakes. Whilst the pagan priests neglect the poor, the hated Galileans devote themselves to works of charity, and by a display of false compassion have established and given effect to their pernicious errors. Such practice is common among them and causes contempt for our gods." He hated Christians and he wanted to do all he could, but he had a problem. The Christians were actually good for society, even though all hell and evil was being thrown at them. When Emperor Julian lay dying in 363 AD, his dying words were reported to be "Visisti Galilaeae," which is Latin for "You Galileans have conquered." Wasn't happy about it. How can we overcome evil? How we can overcome evil. Our list of covenant community ingredients commenced with let love be genuine. To overcome evil is going to require genuine love. Genuine love is sacrificial love. It is the kind of love that Christ personified and we must emulate. It costs, it hurts, it taxes. But when done with genuine love for Christ, this kind of love for others that overcomes evil is done gladly. Nancy Piercy, one of the most brilliant women on the planet today, states that it is also one of the most powerful evangelistic witnesses the church can offer. She says in her book, Love Thy Body, she says this, in his widely read book, After Virtue, Alistair McIntyre writes that as the surrounding society loses its connecting glue, the most important response to build local, small-scale forms of community, teaching our children and congregations how we re-establish strong, lifelong relationships in a world falling apart. So the most important thing that we can do is to be able to build community, which is the very thing that we're doing in this study. What matters at this stage is the construction of local forms of community within which civility and the intellectual and laurel life can be sustained through new ages which are already upon us. So she's quoting Alistair McIntyre. Goes on and says, our families and church must become centers of civilization that reach out beyond themselves with a model of human community. The strongest Christian communities, families, congregations, groups of singles are the ones driven by a large vision, a sense of ministry. So that's in the book, Love Thy Body, published by Baker Books, released in 2018, and then you'll find that on page 264. So here's the closing prayer. May God grant that we, his covenant people, brothers and sisters together, may shine the light of his goodness and love into this dark and evil world so that the evil of our generation is indeed overcome. Amen. And I've got my initials there. And I hope that as you close in prayer, and you may even choose to delay that last paragraph. You may choose to, you know, we're just gonna have our prayer requests, and then I'm going to read this out as our prayer together. Or you could even recite it together. There's an idea. So I trust that you have benefited, your group has benefited from looking at these 27 imperatives for building a covenant community of believers. And I hope that people get, you can't do any of these on your own. The result of obeying Christ in these things is that a covenant community is needed as well as built. Well, if you are looking for more Bible studies, please go to the website lagana.org/studies, or you'll find them at andrewcorbett.net. Small group studies, you'll see the link there. And I trust that you greatly benefit from these studies. Thank you for using them. If you've got some feedback, you can shoot that through on the contact page on either of those websites. God bless you.